Let me welcome you all to the Humus Union of Madison for our monthly meeting, and our guest today is Blue Cheddar, one of Madison's most active bloggers.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and pass my little card around just so I remember to do that right away. There you go. And I'm not usually a public speaker. I'm a blogger, so yeah, you can hear me now. So I'll try to speak up, and I have a brief talk prepared, and then I'm sure we'll just have a nice discussion that takes it from there. I'm usually just sitting like this at the computer, very quietly. So this is a great opportunity. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you very much for posing several questions to me, because I'm usually not reflecting on myself. I'm usually thinking about these politicians and what they're doing to us today, and the latest, what seems to be a continued attack on progressive values in Wisconsin and in the nation. I'll just start from my notes and hopefully kind of go off into some nice tangents. So I am a blogger, which means I spend a lot of time on computers. And I don't just like this computer. I love my computer. I love all computers. I love little devices and gizmos and cameras and video. All of the stuff that I'm supposed to hate because it's controlling our lives, I love it. I'm a bit more famous for being one of the most avid and influential tweeters during the protest that we had in Madison and in various areas outside of, you know, Madison. My blog is not as popular as my tweeting was, actually. And that just happened. I don't know why. And I have theories. And I also did some live streaming of protests with Mike's. This is my boyfriend, Mike, who graciously let me use his smartphone to broadcast video and audio of protests and interviews on the fly. So remember, there was no media really here from February 11th to February 16th, or maybe a couple local outlets. And there were people that were getting something all over the globe. I've had people contact me from Thailand, Egypt, Sweden, Norway, Canada, the UK, Central and South America. And then I also did an online daily radio show with another blogger named Steve Hansen of Uppity, Wisconsin. Has anyone ever visited that? He's a great guy. He lives in Dunn County near Menominee. And I kept on saying, Steve, we got to do something. We got to do more. People are not finding, they're not getting the details. And he finally consented. So that was exciting and really hard. I'm a political blogger, and that means I am a political junkie. I started blogging on politics probably because Mike asked me to quit talking about politics so much. And you know, the intensity of politics in Wisconsin was rising as Scott Walker was becoming, it was becoming clear to me that he was probably going to win. I count my time at a Wisconsin bloggers conference that Steve Hansen hosted as a kind of a pivotal moment. That was September 2010. And it was his kindness and the kindness of another blogger, Zach of Blogging Blue, that were actually very key. And I think that I want to put that thanks out there right away. And I get really emotional. Your role as you interact with other people in your community, in your online community, in your church, in your neighborhood is actually pivotal. And to consider, that's one thing that we should all take away and think about after today, I hope. So after Walker got elected and he first threatened to kill our high-speed rail, and we saw him actually kill it, I ramped up tweeting and Facebooking for Sierra Club, and I helped them promote about 8 simultaneous protests around Wisconsin. And that was very good training for February 2012. I didn't know it at the time. And I don't think they knew it, or that was a precursor. And a lot of people have said, you know, why did what happened in Wisconsin happen? And I don't think they really paid attention to our high-speed rail protesters in 2010. And if they had, they'd have some clues about that. Now, I don't really like crowds and constant protesting. I don't want to sleep on your cold floor or the cold ground. So I didn't do any occupying. But when I rolled out of bed in the morning, I tweeted. I did go to the Capitol regularly. I went in the streets regularly. I collected photos, interviews, video, and I added that to the blog. And I was very generous in my sharing. If someone else was doing work, I didn't have to redo that work. I could share that work. So, you know, you did a video. Oh, you have a great video. And I tweeted that. And when I was at the Capitol, I used a non-smartphone. I used it's just a $10 phone that has a nice keyboard. And you can send a text message, an SMS message, and set it up so that it goes to Twitter, and that went around the world. So that's something I want to, whenever I mention that, that kind of blows people's minds. They don't know that. And people thought I had a smartphone.
What did you have?
Just a cheap $10 phone with a keyboard.
Smart
does it have a brand?
I think it was a Samsung.
Samsung, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a normal phone.
It was the only thing that was good about that phone, it finally broke, is that the keyboard had nice buttons. Mm-hmm. what did I do that might have been a little bit special? I used Twitter to bug reporters. So I'd identify what reporter was at what location, who's at ABC and NBC and da 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 da. And I was monitoring them. Were they covering us? Did they give you a story? Did they totally screw up the story? I would badmouth them and lambast them if they did. I lambasted the Wisconsin AP several times for making major errors and, in fact, sounding fairly right-wing. I lambasted some other outlets, which I won't mention because I'm in the forgiveness stage. I lambasted particular individuals that were actually intentionally spreading lies or rumors. And I became a dominant voice by being on Twitter all the time, by making people laugh, by being actually quite accurate, being very generous, you know, giving credit where credit was due. I am not an organizer per se. I blog, I encourage people. I do hang out with political people on Friday night in a mobile salon I call Leftist Cocktail Party. And we just had our most incredible, successful leftist cocktail party at where we had there's a woman who wants to start a sort of a soup kitchen educational outlet at the Labor Temple on Park Street, and she got to talk about that with 20 people. We had a gentleman who's talking about election integrity and changing some of the security around ballots in Wisconsin. He got a chance to talk. And then we had a visiting activist, Barbara Wythe, from Madeline Island, who's very integral into fighting the Pinocchio Mine, got a chance to talk and tell us her stories. So I was like, wow, that was great. And the reason that we have this thing is the leftist cocktail party comes from a joke. Does anyone else know the background? Someone from the Dane County Republicans wrote Judge Sue Me. Judge Sue Me was the person you see a lot of nodding heads, so we know that she was involved in looking at the veracity of Wisconsin Act 10. And he said that she had no legal grounds for this. The only reason she wasn't supporting Wisconsin Act 10 is because she wanted to keep her leftist friends, use the word leftist, and continue to go to their cocktail parties and eat their foie gras and organic vegetables. And it was such a weird, it was an apology in quotes, and it was, we folks on Twitter and in the blogosphere shared this, and we would get this reply from other people: did you make that up? No, I'm sorry, I really didn't make this up. And a lot of people were very mad at this man, and they wrote really mean letters and emails. And I thought, you know, let's not be mean, and let's not get more into that. Let's be funny. And I did a Facebook page. I said, we are the leftist cocktail party, and we will have cocktails. And
you know,
it's out there right now. And so I got, we were watching the counter. It was going up about 100 people per hour, maybe hour and 15 minutes. We were getting fans. And I have fans on that from all over the world. Most of them Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis, but then we've got UK, South America, you know, Portugal's on there.
The only foie gras we ate is vegetarian foie gras.
I would wouldn't have touched. Well, we had so much fun making. We had so much fun making fun of these little stereotypes on that right away. We were, you know, oh, I'm here sipping with my pinky up, sipping my organic coffee, you know. And we had, it was a great way to turn it around. So now at this point, people want me to dispense advice. They want me to organize. I got a request to set up live streaming video from the streets of Chicago's occupation, which I don't really know how to do.
Wall Street.
They wanted me to set it up much like Wall Street's, but I don't really know how to do it. So what I'm saying is that people want me, because I'm out there, they think I know how to do a lot. I kind of don't. And I do know how to do what I do, which is blog. I do know how to manipulate social media to good benefit. I do know how to have a sense of humor and how to flip messaging around properly and to direct communication and voice. And that's still pretty important, but it's not sleeping on the floor of the Capitol, and it's not organizing occupations necessarily. You know what I mean? And I'm at this point in my blogging life where I'm getting all of these requests, and I sort of have to figure out how to manage what it, maybe I can't do those things. Maybe I can find and connect and still keep
going. Can you give some examples of requests?
Well, people want me to help organize Occupation Madison, Occupy Madison, they want.
Madison's not occupied?
let's see. I'm going to keep going on a little thread here. Okay. As for what a blogger is, you regularly put updates on a place on the web. And all these places on the web are really changing. But let's keep going with what a blogger is. It requires a kind of discipline and or addiction like what we see in runners. It requires a great tolerance for being seated in one place. There are people that are out in Madison that are in the streets constantly carrying signs, carrying clipboards, carrying on a conversation, going door to door, answering phones, doing very, they move. And a blogger is sitting here. And a blogger could go, maybe I want to have the phone number of that person or their Twitter, or find out do they pick up the phone, or what do they respond to, because that guy does things. And I want to have a conversation with him when he's standing on the Brooklyn Bridge, like Arthur was when it got shut down by the protesters, and he answers the phone, and he gets my voice, and he talks to me because he knows me. And then I can record the conversation, can get it out to you, and we have that connection. So if you take your bloggers out, maybe you can't get that stuff done. So I wanted to note that. You have to make decisions. You have to know if you're gonna, do you expect to be paid by ads or somebody? Will you keep that friend, maybe create an enemy? Will you have higher quality in your posts or higher frequency in your posts? Do you have a strict theme, or are you all over the map? Writing about your kitties one day and writing about Scott Walker the next day. It might be okay, writing about kitties. If you leave your comments open, you get more comments. People, they know you're open. But then you get spam and you get mean people. And you have to develop a very thick skin. If you write about politics or do anything with politics, you will get challenged the more you take a stand on something. But if you don't take a stand, then you have to get used to dancing around certain people and certain issues. And we've had controversial issues might be, when do we recall Scott Walker? Exactly what date? What does it mean if someone pours a beer on someone? Is that violence? Is it okay if Jeremy Segway Ryan is becoming this star in the Capitol for being dragged out? You know, all these things. We can get really, that can become a mire as well. When you're getting mired in this little argument over here, and meanwhile, those folks that got you to the march around the Capitol are doing their work without much obstruction. Also, you risk I should note, if you never take a stand, you're always skirting an issue. You become more like the gutless mass media, which might have been the reason you got into this in the first place. If you blog a lot, you might start to enjoy it less. After a year of it, you might not enjoy it at all. And I hear that 1 year is sort of the burnout mark. I still enjoy blogging, actually quite a bit, but there are, you kind of figure out on the days that you're completely drained, you grab a video from, you know, Jon Stewart, or, you know, you look for other things. I welcome some new bloggers into the fold and given them the keys to the place. There are now 5 bloggers at the Blue Cheddar blog. My only rule is to try and not insult the readers so badly that they never come back. Someone did try to submit that, and I had to really, you don't know, kind of like, what is your policy for what goes in there? You figured that out. I find that internet readers can tolerate the odd curse word, and they actually expect it. So some highlights in tweeting. Some of my tweets were included in a book on the Wisconsin protests that I think is called We Are Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that was actually quite thrilling to see that Blue Cheddar right print there. Michael Moore one day told people to follow me on Twitter, which I just about, I was so happy. I was just so happy for half the day. I was invited to talk at Netroots in Minneapolis, which is a meeting of the many left minds. It's sponsored by Daily Coast, and I was on a panel, and I was sort of the resident protest tweeter for the state, which was very wild. Highlights of Wisconsin blogging. A couple of blog posts I did put a spotlight on Wisconsin Right to Life's manipulation of voters during our Senate recall elections. They were putting out robocalls that originated in DC/Virginia, and they were sending out information that was, they were within the boundaries of the law. However, they wound up basically, in essence, telling people to stay home and not vote because of the information wasn't correct on what day the election was. Same deal with the, and we could talk about that for a while, but some forms that they were offering to send people that were sort of these ballot, absentee ballot forms. And so by doing that, it was very exhausting for about 2 days. That's all I could focus on. I got lots of, it was very intense. I did it because I was very worried. And so it was, bouncing between Facebook and Twitter and email and calls. And it got that attention. That matter got to the attention of Wisconsin Public Radio and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which were forced to do stories on the matter, and Wisconsin Right to Life was forced to answer to that. Mm-hmm. So that felt, oh, okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. And a lot, the social media was on fire about it. Another blog called Politiscoop had doggedly pursued the Republican running against Senator Dave Hansen in Green Bay in a recall election against Dave. During the course of this pursuit, Politiscoop noted that the Republican was calling people welfare cheats and sponges and, that kind of language, but he himself was on food stamps and Medicare. So that hypocrisy was exposed. This is a horrible, this candidate. They also exposed and made public that there were charges against him in an ongoing case about beating his wife, and they interviewed said wife. Who had the hatred that people had then, they already didn't like the candidate, but then it was, wow, people were really motivated to help Dave Hansen. So that's what Politiscoop did, and that was really remarkable. A blog called Blogging Blue broke the story on Randy Hopper's affair, and that blog was actually shut down for about a week because the website was hit so hard. And the arrangement that was made with the host wasn't there to support that, and they had to, so that basically destroyed the website for a week. Wow. And I did a story on a protest at a New Berlin school district meeting that got me attacked on Charlie Sykes' show and Vicki McKenna's show for a couple days. And they attacked Blue Cheddar, and they smeared my name on Facebook and all over the web, and my lefty friends were like, oh, that's a badge of honor, and that's great. But it's interesting. It highlighted where the battleground is. is at the school board level now. It's, they are taking, as teacher contracts are expiring, then a handbook will govern the employees of the school district, and that handbook might be in effect for like 1 year only. And so Scott Walker said he was giving these localities the tools, and how this is impacting teachers and local employees, it does vary from location to location. They're not, but New Berlin had probably the most punitive school handbook, and I made a point of calling a gentleman who was going there, a teacher. And the last highlight, and there's so many more I could name, but a recent one, Monologues of Dissent, is a blog that is largely written by a teacher in Wisconsin. She wrote an open letter to Brian Williams. How many of you already know about this? One hand? Any? Okay. Well, it's a great thing. She wrote an open letter to Brian Williams because Scott Walker was a honored guest in an education summit at NBC in Rockefeller Plaza, one of his kickoff experiences where all these governors were on the stage, and the stage is laughable to behold. It's, you know, the Rockefeller statue is in its golden glory, and the stage is like a Broadway play. It's huge, and it's like a vast audience, and all their voices echo into this chamber. And there's Scott Walker, ready to get his praise. Well, Heather is her first name. I can't think of her last name off the top of my head. But, okay, hopefully, if y'all listening to this later go look for Monologues of Dissent and read the letter, or even Google open letter Brian Williams, it'll come up. And she basically said, you know, I can't believe that you are hosting this, and I'll read a couple things from the letter. It went into the, you know, congratulations and respect for Isthmus that put that on their site. And then it got shared and shared and shared with social media and tweeted, and everyone sent that same letter criticizing Scott Walker to Brian Williams, so that Brian Williams actually confronted Scott Walker on that stage with he read a paragraph from this little blogger's letter on live and live streaming broadcast about education.
What did Walker do?
Well, he actually, you know how he always acts. That same dumb expression as if he's drugged.
No, he didn't respond.
Well, he defended himself, and part of his defense was that his children were in public schools, and he really sidestepped the issue of privatization. He didn't, it wasn't the best. It wasn't a grilling for 20 minutes as it should have been. It was remarkable to me as a blogger in Wisconsin to see a fellow blogger whose blog, I don't know if it's as popular as mine, might be on equal footing or she might be less popular, to have that paragraph come out of Brian Williams' mouth maybe a week after her little blog put that out. Mm-hmm. And it was because it was just such a good letter, and everyone said, this has to go somewhere. And it went all the way to Rockefeller Plaza, out of that anchor's mouth in front of Scott Walker. It's as if a public hearing had been, you know, did an end run. And I'm here praising another blog's work, but boy was it. And I felt as a blogger, just really, I was walking on air for the next day. Let's see.
Is blogging the new media?
Well, I won't read it. I'm gonna assume that, yeah, I can get you to read it later. And that, yeah, why don't I stop talking and let you ask me questions. Is blogging the new media? Things are moving very rapidly.
Yeah.
Blogging is more of a static form now than it used to be relative to other ways to reach your audience. So if I put a post on the blog, it sits there and it can have comments. And then the act of a tweet is actually kind of becoming the new blog, or a Facebook comment, in the sense that that tweet can be heard around the world. We're on, maybe I should say blogs and tweets and Facebook updates and Tumblr updates and YouTube videos are all on the same platform, where I think it used to be that blogs were the a little bit higher. And I think we used to make more fun of these other things. They were not as significant. So does that make?
What a context. I mean, I was looking just at your latest blog just before I came, and that you had that whole like 7-8 minute thing by somebody else.
By Arthur?
YouTube mm-hmm. thing, yeah.
Which
sort of snickering and saying that New York police are doing half as well as the Madison police did. Mm-hmm. But you seem to have a lot of contacts with new stuff.
That was one of my questions. How many contacts have you had altogether feeding in information to you?
I don't know. I know a lot of people in Madison. I know a lot of people across the state. Now I know people across the nation. I don't really know people that well outside of the United States. But I do make a point of talking to people. And the other day we went to protest at Scott Walker's mansion because there was this ridiculous croquet match for his cronies. And then we, it's interesting, a couple little contact stories. We left the house and I said, let's put a red heart balloon on the vehicle, just because we're doing this. And then we go to look at, to see if the boats are still there. They're not. But there's a woman waving frantically, and it was Ellen from Walworth County who did not know where the heck she was to go to the mansion. The boats were gone, and she saw that red balloon, and she knew we were friends. And then we go over there. So there's still good old-fashioned balloons. And let's see, what was my... No, she's a really avid Facebooker. She'll take your... If you start doing a blog post, she thinks it's great. She will sit there for an hour and put it on every single group that she will. She is your friend, and she is probably as powerful as I am in that venue, but no one knows it. And then she is someone that I will introduce to bloggers, so you have got to know Ellen. And I know that that's important. And when we were done at the mansion, then there were some people over here that had some kayaks. I didn't really know them, but they did something in the water to protest Walker. And there's Ellen. She was going to go away. So I didn't see them talking. So I said, do you know Ellen? Do you know them? Who are you? And so maybe just because I do that, I don't know how many contacts I have. See, you have to start doing that. And you have to realize that you need to find out what's the primary way that person interacts with you. Is it Facebook, Twitter, phone? And if you be honest, if they say, I only do Twitter, you say, I don't do Twitter. Well, what else do you do?
another thing is, because we live in Madison and Dane County, a lot of other parts of the state dismiss stuff that's happening here because they think we're all a bunch of wackos. So what you've done is you try to cultivate some bloggers from other parts of the state to bring in their perspective.
Yeah, I think I did. I think that's true. As Walker was trying to say that the protests were only Dane County people, and I realized that we were sort of falling into some sort of trap if we stayed too local. I really did. I have a blogger on Blue Cheddar called Appleton Wonk, and she's in Appleton, which is a very conservative area. There's a blogger called Waukesha Wonk. Waukesha, very conservative area, and she said that they've had recall Walker events where people have spit on people, people have thrown things. You know, it's very tense.
It's very, and
so not, I've tried to
I don't know if you want to tell this story, but maybe it's apropos. It's not a friendly atmosphere in some of these other counties for people on the left, so. You know how that woman was speaking, how they couldn't find a place to meet? Do you want to mention that story?
Okay. it's kind of a tangent, but it's something I haven't really amplified very much on the blog yet, but let's say in the Portage area, they had, this is what I've heard from someone who's very, very, very involved, volunteer, and very reliable, that they had about 100 people coming through the door of the Democratic headquarters per hour to help in supporting and defending their, I'm blocking on his name, I'll think of it in 2 minutes, Fred Clark. And this is a supposedly conservative area. And then what happens in any election, this is just what happens, the Democratic Party will close its headquarters wherever it is and go away. And they're not spending money on that anymore. And in this particular location, that meant that they had nowhere to meet because the bars, the local public places will refuse to allow a left-wing or liberal group to meet there. So they don't know, they're kind of, you know, you can't have, unless you have a huge house or a barn or something and you can have all these people come. So that was a huge disruption. There's also a blogger I know who's got a similar situation, but near New Berlin, and they can't meet anywhere. They won't let you have more than like 2 cars parked. They'll say whose cars are parked outside this bar or this coffee shop. And you can't have all these cars parked on our public streets for a political event. So they've got the cops and the businesses siding against liberals in some areas. And I don't know how long that's been going on, or if it had been going on, or if it was a heightened situation due to the politics we've had.
The recalls.
I haven't gone to that length to study it. And so these are things that are kind of filtering out. So, if you don't make friends outside of your own county, you won't know these things.
Yeah. Do the Republicans ever park along that same kind of
curve? I don't know.
Probably.
So that's a downer story.
Well, yeah, but it's important for people to have a virtual way to get the word out. So we're talking about, you know, what the blogs are good for, and also that, you know, they're an alternative to sometimes the Milwaukee Journal or something like that, which it's sometimes difficult for them to.
Well, in Wisconsin.
To do our stories and stuff, and
there are many, many people that have told me. I haven't kept track of how many people have told me. I only started using Facebook or Twitter since February, because I couldn't get information about what was going on.
Like
outside of that venue.
It's like, I didn't know that, and I'm assuming that woman was correct, that from Madeline Island, that the mine somehow either purchased that newspaper up there or invested in it or something.
Yeah, I've heard from several different sources now that the sources actually vary in the way they phrase this. They'll say either the mining company or the Tea Party have purchased the newspaper that serves the Ashland County area, and they're putting out pro-mining messages now. And you know, that's when you only think of yourself in an urban area, everything's great. You've got your groups and your newspapers and great. And then as you go out into rural areas, if the Tea Party purchases the newspaper, or if the Tea Party purchases the radio station, and that's all they're putting out, that's not so good. There are areas in Wisconsin also where your public radio doesn't reach, in the far northeast area, and there's some little areas where neither the Ideas Network nor the other have overlap. So the internet is crucial. When Scott Walker and Sheila Harsdorf did their work to kill WISNET, and if they're killing funding for high-speed internet in public libraries and hospitals and in schools, they're also taking a political action against you. And so that made me very angry. Sometimes when I'm really mad, I don't say a lot. Remember that little sign someone had at the Capitol and someone took a photograph? And the woman's little cardboard sign says, "I'm a little bit upset." Did you see that?
I don't what?
Her sign said, "I'm a little bit upset." And she's just standing there looking like this. And you know, that's when I get really mad, I'm just like, "I'm a little bit upset." and humor, these are really some tough times. And, some days I just made jokes. Some days I'll just put on Twitter, You know, I think the other day I said, okay, I'm seething with fury. The hate is flowing through me nicely against Scott Walker. Send me anti-Scott Walker tweets and I will retweet them. And then I'll just have this little, you know, people will send me things and I'll, okay, you're retweeted. So that's a lot of fun too. Any other questions?
I have a comment. I've had the experience of living even as a child in a rural area where people would not acknowledge they were even remotely left of center, and including our family. And this would have been just an amazing outlet and means of contacting all the other people that were afraid to say what their politics were. And I think it's just invaluable.
Well, I think we're going through a time of great change with our media. I read a figure that I think about 12 or 13 years ago, about 6% of Americans got their news and information from the internet, and now that number is at about 40%. That's pretty huge.
I think control of the internet is also on the agenda for a lot of right-wingers, and I think we must always be vigilant, because it's been on the agenda for quite some time. Some of the organizations that have been around for a long time, you know, not only do they want to control space and control the earth, they want to control internet and
it's control communication.
Yeah. Now that the internet has been cited as a tool that, you know, helped the people in Egypt and Syria and other places, I think a lot of the government, and any government official, Obama or anyone else, thinks about that and worries about how it can be used to cause, you know, opposition to them. And so maybe there'll be a tightening down on that. And there's been a lot of things that have been illegal happening, even if some of it's political in nature, but it's illegal, and then it gives them more of a carte blanche to kind of control things.
Basically stopping, as someone said, the wonderful noise of democracy. Yeah. You know, the just opposition voices.
Right. And sometimes someone throws a virtual brick through a window and, you know, they shut down like Sony's website or something. But
did you have a question? I have a very basic question.
Sure.
How does a person become a blogger? And this is a question towards the person's mindset. And then how does that person, when he or she decides to become a blogger, how does he or she set about doing it in practical terms? Do you just go on the internet and say, okay, here is blue cheese, I'm a new blogger, or what do you do?
Good question. You have a couple options now. If you want to, well, you said mindset.
That's
mindset. You're stubborn. You have something to say. You're angry, probably angry, or you think you're great. You think you're great. You think you're
one of those.
Confident.
That too.
Then you get beaten down by someone or something. With, you know, you screwed up on a fact. Someone made fun of you. Whatever, and you say, I'm going to continue. I don't care. I'm stubborn. You know, the stubbornness is there. So there's some kind of energy. And right now, you know, it's the fight. For me, politically, it's a fighting spirit. But still, you know, why was I anonymous? Part of it, I didn't have full confidence in that I knew more than other people. So I think having a nom de plume, having a fake name helps with confidence. So let's say you have that energy. At this point, you can go to WordPress.com or blogspot.com and have a free space that will make it very easy to understand how to put something out there. And then if you do two things, have your free blog and then make a couple friends on Facebook or on Twitter. or even some email friends who, you know, say, hey, I'm writing some things. Would you like to read what I wrote today? And again, a little confidence, you know, we're just putting something out there. You're good, you're starting. You can also come up to me and say, Carol, I have something that I think is great and I would like to put it out there. Would you host that? And I would say yes. My only rule, I said, is if you completely make, you know, if you're making the audience cry and weep in their cornflakes or insulting them deeply and they never come back, so you can just ask an existing blogger, and then sometimes people really don't have that much to say except for maybe once a month. There's a gentleman, I think his name is Grant Petty, who wrote a letter about the Wisconsin State Journal and how it insulted him so deeply, and he put it on Facebook, and all my Facebook friends were sharing it like crazy, and then I said, can I put it on my blog? He said, sure. And then that went to the Isthmus, and then that went to other blogs, and then the Wisconsin State Journal was calling him to talk about it. And that was a Facebook note.
But there are no legal rules or something for a blogger to become in existence?
No.
It's just a free-for-all.
It has to be certified.
You just can't put copyrighted material on there,
Oh, I see.
Somebody's song.
If you steal material, you could have a lawyer call you or email you or something. And I had someone steal some content on YouTube, and I actually went through the process of having it taken care of.
You also don't want to say anything defamatory.
Yeah.
Although truth is a defense. Yeah. It's not necessarily a winning argument in an actual case, depending on who the judge might be, but it would be good to stay away from
public figures,
from that.
Public figures are different.
There are different degrees involved, but even so, you aren't allowed to say something defamatory and untrue about even a public figure.
Yeah. What if you say, I think such and such?
That should work. Theoretically, based on my recollection of the law in that area, and I'm not currently licensed here, that should be true, because there's a difference in saying so-and-so is a crook and saying, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, so-and-so is a crook.
Or it has been said that.
Allegedly. But in those cases, it would have to have been alleged and it would have to have been said for it to be a true statement. You don't want to get too cute by half. But if you're unsure of a fact, but you think it may be true, say, I believe, I think, in my opinion, reportedly, especially if you read it someplace. Don't get too cute by half, because it undermines your own argument. That and avoiding, and I know this not from being a blogger, but commenting. Being a frequent commenter on Huffington Post, you want to avoid ad hominem attacks.
Oh, sure.
It's sometimes easy to fall into that trap, but it's very useful if you notice that somebody went from saying you've got your facts wrong, or I disagree with you, to, well, you're no damn good. typically in more colorful language. Because then you can say, aha, an ad hominem attack. I see you run out of facts and logic. And that tends to shut them up.
And one last question. How do you, if I do not know somebody's blog name, but I know that person is blogging, how do I get into his blog?
You have to ask them what they're.
I think you'll just have to communicate with them personally.
Or do a Google search and see if it shows up.
Yeah, some people have their names on their blogs, some people don't. But I would say, when it comes to the accuracy and stuff, Blue Cheddar spends a lot of time making sure the facts are right. And I think that.
And if I don't spend the time, I let you know. I say, well, I ran out of time.
I respect that, though. I didn't think they would really care, but they do. Maybe it's just the other writer reporter types, but they do notice it, and they appreciate accuracy and then good writing.
Oh, you'll find the other interesting thing is, you know. Oh, well, you find out who cares. Yeah, you find out they'll just attack you or write you a note or something, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're listening to me. Wow.
Who knew?
I should let people know that you interviewed me on the square, probably 19 degrees in the snow.
Right.
And had this little thing about this big, something like that, and I had absolutely no idea there was a Blue Cheddar blog. You told me the name of it. But the fact that you could, I think, immediately transmit to the blog. Am I right?
I was probably broadcasting live at that point. I'm not sure.
And you said something to the effect that this is going right on the blogs.
Well, I've done a couple of things, actually. We've done live use training where you can... this is kind of exciting, and let's see, I'm thinking about 5 million things to tell you, so which is important. The important thing to tell you is that when you are at a live event, it's political, or it's entertaining, or it's exciting, if it's exciting at all, actually anything live is exciting for some reason. And if you live stream something using a video or audio, or if you're tweeting it live, I'm sitting here, I'm tweeting live, I'm sitting outside of Scott Walker's mansion, let's wait and see if he comes out. All of a sudden, people are paying attention to you.
Yeah.
And how do you get attention to what's going on in Wisconsin? Let's do something live. And then people are watching or listening or saying, hey, so-and-so, this is happening now. So whatever's going to work for you. A friend of mine, Arthur, likes Facebook. Facebook is very accessible, and he's got a smartphone, and he's in New York City with all these protesters. And then he says, to me who has the blog, hey, can you help me get this out there? And so that's, don't feel like you have to master all of these technologies. Maybe you can make a friend who has some savvy and connection, and you just want to stay in your narrow part of the world. Sometimes people have emailed me things, they have called me, they have Facebooked me, they have elbowed me, and I can know that they're doing this. But the liveness of it is exciting. Yeah. So,
I'd just like to make a comment too in terms of the impact that this kind of activity has. One of the activities in the Capitol during the protests consisted of three complete volunteers, all of whom happened to be members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and they were live streaming from a laptop the demonstrations in the Capitol in real time. And I personally brought this to the attention of friends and relatives in France, England, and Australia. All of whom were following what was going on and actually went and watched this. And then I also, although I do draw a distinction between Wisconsinites attempting to assert their right to assemble freely and speak freely, attempting to get into the Capitol during Walker's shutdown of it against the state constitution and the judge's order at the time, and people back in my hometown of New York occupying a roadway as opposed to the walkway on the Brooklyn Bridge recently. That's civil disobedience. It's kind of the opposite. But I did understand that as the people were marching across the bridge, they were chanting, whose bridge? Our bridge! And everybody in Wisconsin knows where they got that idea.
Yeah, isn't that something? I think I want to add a couple, as long as we're kind of, I like to talk about messaging and media and things, and the New York situation is really interesting, but before I jump into that, has anyone seen this before? This picture?
Yeah, I see. So, how many more?
Mm-hmm. You can hold up your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six.
That particular picture?
Yeah, this particular with the quote.
It's with Warren.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe one, two, three, four people within this group. This is sort of like the modern version of being the Associated Press in a sense that we don't know who did this, who put this picture with this quote and started distributing it like this. But it's gone crazy. It's everywhere. This is a platform called Tumblr, which appeals to it's like 16 to 25-year-olds. It went on Facebook, which appeals to like, you know, 20 to 75 or 80 or and up, right?
Just describe it for the radio.
I'm so sorry. We're on the radio. This is a photograph of Elizabeth Warren smiling, and the quote starts, I probably won't read it all. There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. Nobody. You built a factory out there? Good for you. But I want to be clear. You moved your goods to market on the roads the rest of us paid for. You hired workers the rest of us paid to educate. You were safe in your factory because of police forces and fire forces that the rest of us paid for. You did not have to, you know, go on. And boy, did this resonate.
Yeah.
So who did this? We don't know, but that little nudge up, like I'm going to lift, boost you up. And then people went and boosted it and boosted it and boosted it and boosted it. So it is an interesting thing to think.
I saw a statement somewhere, but not the photo.
Yeah,
I did too. And many of us saw the statement. So now what's happening in New York are these people are doing these things, and it's just unfolding very rapidly. And you know, we had folks on the bridge, and now some were legal in their approach, going on the walkway, and some were violating the law. They were going on the roadway. And now what happens? The New York Times, now let's see if I can... I guess the New York Times within 20 minutes changed a story about this to, I'm not going to sure if I'm going to find it rapidly, so I'll just say it. They, in the first lead-in sentence, they said something like, New York City police led protesters onto the roadway of the Brooklyn Bridge to then, you know, cage them and arrest them. And 20 minutes later, another name was added to the story, and the story was changed to this, you know, there was a generic conflict of some nature and they were arrested. And now my friend Arthur was there videotaping this, sent me video that shows the New York police leading the people on the bridge.
On the roadway? Mm-hmm.
On the roadway.
As opposed to the walkway?
Yes.
Wow.
So now, but what are we left with? We're left with having to correct this. We're left with having, here's the New York Times, the you know, its distribution and its paper and its website and its tweeting. The rest of the world must see the video and must see our correction. So we're kind of in this fight. And it's interesting that these protesters have been saying, we want more mass media coverage. We want more mass media coverage. And that is what you get when you get your mass media coverage.
Lawrence McDonald's did a nice job with that mace policeman.
He did a beautiful job. And here you go. Yeah, some people are doing a beautiful job. And what can you do? Point it out. Yeah. You did a beautiful job. You got it right. Why did you get it right? Mm-hmm. Here's the proof you got it right. I'm promoting you with my power. If there's an Ellen out there, like my Walworth County Ellen, boost, 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 boost. So... That's very exciting to me. That there's a positive, you know, about all this stuff.
Spreading around.
Is your power is, and we can't have that power being taken away. So if and when you ever see the internet's being clamped down, question the reporting and question the because, you know, your voice being clamped down actually could help the corporate media. You know, you're pesky.
Yeah.
Questioning the corporate media and. But I know that in your service today, you talked about Wall Street and...
Not during the service itself, but during the joys and concerns.
Yeah. And is there anything else someone wanted to add to that about Wall Street or concerns?
I did see it mentioned on Sunday morning on CBS this morning, and they said that 700 people had been arrested.
Right.
But they didn't give as much coverage as they did to the baseball.
And nobody is showing, that I know of, is showing a photograph of the massive crowds, which are pretty impressive, the size of the crowds.
And reportedly growing.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah, she is.
And NPR.
They are now?
Oh, NPR.
They always said something, yeah. I can't remember when I heard it, but somewhere between last night and this morning.
Well, I'm going to be really honest about, as I've processed the whole thing, when it first happened, the fact that Adbusters started it, and they're a magazine in Canada, and Anonymous joined it, and Anonymous does some criminal behavior by hacking things sometimes. I was sort of like, we need more people to jump in this. We need unions. We need some good old-fashioned 65-year-olds to march down, you know. Come on. And we didn't see that, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if this is... First, I don't know if I like them. I don't... You know, I had my own personal... I'm not sure about this. And so I personally vacillated between, do we connect with this? And, you know, there's all these criticisms, and I have personal criticisms. And sometimes I've been in that mode, that cynical mode, and then sometimes an image comes in or something comes at me, and I'm like, gosh, they're right. They're just right about something.
Isn't it scary sometimes? You have a lot of power. You really have an awful lot of power without ever being... I mean, each blogger has a tremendous amount of power because of the wide reach. Not knowing whether he or she knows what he or she's talking about, or you know they're not experts in certain fields, so you have to ultimately rely on some well-meaning, intelligent people who have more get up and go than you, the listener herself, has, and then sift and winnow and find out, well, this makes sense to me, this one doesn't. It's amazing the power that can be exerted simply by the use of airwaves. To me, this is totally mind-boggling. You know, I think it's exciting, very exciting, but it's also scary.
It is a
little
bit.
I think the most
blogging,
scary
mind blog.
Oh, good.
Mind blog. The ability of taking away some of the rights on the internet.
Right. That would be horrible. But you know, I would not stop.
I
would come after you with information no matter. You
know. Well, your drone satellite.
It's printing presses and paper and chalk and you know. An interesting thing is the diversity of messaging. I know somebody who really likes to project images, and she takes a projector and she puts a stencil in front of it and puts a huge image of Scott Walker on a side of a building or something like that. And then it's just like, and then just the fact that she did that and taking a picture, but if there's a lot of people around, that's great, but they don't have to all be around. She can, but there's something kind of exciting about just, they did that, you know?
Yeah, it's
exciting. So there, I think there's, I think the spirit of I can do it is something that we can perpetuate no matter what, and that will not go away. I mean, not, we want to keep our internet, but if God forbid they took away the internet, you know. I think the internet is actually, and people talk about this, is doing a lot of things on the internet a form of selectivism, meaning you do something here, but then you don't get up off your... But and go, and I think that's a very good question and a good concern. So that's something that I
just another chain of
myself.
The information, though. Really, it's another link in communication.
Right.
And we need people in all those links.
We need people everywhere. We need people. And I'm not. I don't even want to say this.
Well, I think it's, you know, within. Any responsible journalism, regardless of the media, knowing your sources, trusting your sources.
That's true.
And
there is a...
And reporting something that you don't know, then you say you don't know.
There's
and
an
you're
individual.
Pretty good at that.
And being willing to make corrections.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've had to do
important.
That. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
There's an individual who sent me something, and I'm going to be really vague, who I didn't trust the other individual that gave that person that, and I was just sort of like, and then I was like, oh, I said I'd print this, oh, I don't know, they lied before. I don't know. Do I have enough time to fact check all this? No, I don't. Is this in my expertise area? It's not. So I just didn't run it. I just didn't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And then another blogger who I know is all over that, and I actually wound up giving him some of, and he put out some of the information, and I gave all the caveats why I didn't print it. And I was really like, oh. No.
Now, what about the numerical relationship between progressive blogs like yours and the ultra reactionary? I mean, there must be just as many right wing bloggers as there are left wing. What's the status quo there? Or do you know anything about that? Because that would be important to know.
I think it's constantly changing. I feel, okay, I guess what I can say is that the right wing has invested more time and money into cultivating bloggers. For example, Andrew Breitbart, when we had our Netroots, no, I didn't get paid, but I didn't have to pay either. Apparently they made it very, very easy for right-wing bloggers to come to his thing. Like, the price was really cheap, and then they wined and dined.
They had a parallel event.
Wined and dined them. There was a parallel Andrew Breitbart thing. And Andrew Breitbart is this, I'm trying to not use those words. He has a blog called, I think, Big Government and...
Big Politics.
Big Politics.
Big film, like,
and let's see, what would we remember? He did a smear campaign against the USDA.
He put out the Andrew Weiner video that got him in trouble.
He meant tweet.
It's a good site to read it.
Andrew Weiner got himself in trouble, but
he
was publicized on that.
So I think the right wing is pouring more money, and they're controlling message more. Mm-hmm. I will see words crop up, like the word idiot suddenly pops up on one right winger's vocabulary that Monday, you know, and then this guy's and this guy's and this guy's. So they're, you know, get the memos out, control the message, corral these guys, don't let them be too independent. Give them money, keep them on a leash. If we can put you on the payroll, we also have a leash on you. And that's the thing, are you going to be leashed? If you were, you know, then you're... And it's funny, someone thought I was a paid tweeter. And they said, Brie, are you...
No, you wish.
No. I need to ask, I'm just kind of... And I said, no. Well, you know, that's why you were so good. They said, because I didn't think you were, but because you would call people on stuff. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, cantankerous and contradictory, and, you know, if you were, obviously. I called someone on something I still can't believe. I don't want to talk about it, but I could still go and beat them over the head for that. I just feel so upset. I just still feel upset about some things that I you try to forget because you're, that's so funny. You know, you care so much. You asked about the, what's the incentive? You just care so much, and you just can't forget things, and you're just like, oh, I want to move beyond this. So maybe if I put it on this format, maybe I can move beyond and get along with my business. But blogging can be addictive. Twitter can be addictive. I think I was probably, by definition, some kind of Twitter addict during the February 11th through, like, March 30th or something. But it was a good thing. Twitter, all these addictive, if something is addictive for you on the internet, whether, you know, it might not be for you blogging, it might be taking in the information. Maybe you're stuck on, you know, oh my gosh, I've got to take one more evil bad piece of bad news about Scott Walker today. I think you can put yourself on a diet of, this is my hour for that. And people I've seen use Twitter like a salon. Like, they've said, okay, I can tweet between the hours of 7 to 8. And they'll put that right on their profile. You know, that's when I'm on. And, you know, you're talking to people from all over the world, so you have to put your time zone. And then that's when you have a little time to chat on the internet. I've probably spoken enough. Thank you.